This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful, and it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout, and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today. You'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 286.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we ask, why is Matt Damon the face of crypto? I am your host, Nikita Farsad. And if you're like me, you saw that one weird Matt Damon crypto commercial and thought, oh my God, how far he's come from how do you like them apples-ing, you know? I should also point out that I am in Palm Springs at home. I'm still here. So my mom just walked by and she...
I love Palm Springs.
It's where I grew up. It's where I grew up. So
you're from
a townie. I'm a townie.
Oh my God. There's so many questions I
know.
I have
like how did that happen? Is there anyone under the age of 75 in your neighborhood? I mean, all of those questions are valid. Okay. But anyways, folks, today we're going to do a gentle pandy check-in and an equally gentle insurrection check-in. Yeah, I use gentle, pandemic, and insurrection all in the same sentence, and it makes sense to me. We'll also talk about the new trend in goth wear. And I am so excited by today's panel. Oh my God. Joining us for the very first time, but I can already tell this is going to be a stellar performance. No presh. It's just I can tell. You be yourself. But she's a comedian, a writer. She's got a podcast called Going Through It that's coming out very soonly. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, very soonly. It is the one, the only, Jenny Yang. Hey, Jenny.
Hello. I am so excited to be here. Let's do this.
Yes, we're already going strong. It's the first thing you're doing in 2022,
I
heard.
It is. I'm very excited.
I heard when you told me. So I'm excited to be a part of your first thing of 2022. We are also joined by a longtime podcast panelist, just friend of the show. They're a writer, a New York Times bestselling author because they're so fancy. They also got 2 podcasts out there that are phenomenal. Bad With Money and Just Between Us. I've actually been a guest on Just Between Us. So I can highly recommend the good times had there. It is the one and the only Gabby Dunn. Hey, Gabby.
Hi. Oh, I'm so glad to be back.
Well, folks, it's 2022, and I just want to thank everyone who has joined Patreon. We actually have a new bonus episode out with Bob the Drag Queen about making every day the best day of the year. It's a really phenomenal episode. So if you want to, you know, get those Fake the Nation bonuses, join Patreon at patreon.com/NagineFarsad. And thanks for everyone who joined. I felt like we were some sort of a New Year's resolution for some people, because we got a wave of new Patreons, and I'm very grateful to all of you. So thank you so much. And thanks for listeners who reached out and wished me a Happy New Year and a Merry Christmas and all of that. So personally, on DMs and emails, it made me feel like I was in your friend circle, which just made me feel less alone. So thank you. And I also want to say, I know I shit on Matt Damon above. However, I also, over this Christmas, saw the movie Stillwater. And oh my God, if you have not seen Stillwater, it is Matt Damon par excellence. And it's a terrific film. Tom McCarthy always knows how to make these movies. And he did it again with Stillwater, so I highly recommend. But I also saw West Side Story and Dune and House of Gucci on the theater. And it was, I had majestic movie going in the last month. Wow. And it was really, really wonderful. And safe. I did it safe. Don't everybody email me.
I went to see an advanced screening of House of Gucci. Just, it wasn't like a premiere, just an advanced screening.
It was just, okay.
And at a regular theater. And my friend and I went, both of us gay. And every single person at the advanced screening was, one, gay, and two, dressed to the nines. Oh. Like, it's not a premiere. There's no photos. Like, nothing's, every single, full drag, like, full, like, and I was like, we show up. Gay people do nothing 50%. Like,
That's how you show up to that movie, though. Like, you have to. Okay, well, let's get into topic number one. My God, Omicron is so popular. It is the most popular of the viruses. And before we get into it, I want to know how your holidays were, beyond obviously our movie going magic, and how they were impacted by the crons. Jenny, how were your holidays, and did anything go afoul because of the variant?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I was dusting off that charcuterie board, put it back in the shelf, okay? Can't host any more gatherings. I definitely, I was like, Mom, she's always bugging me. Come, when are you coming home? Yeah. When are you going to call me back?
Yeah.
Okay, she lives 45 minutes away, so there's no excuse. Yeah. And literally the day before Christmas, I was like, Mom, so what do you think? What do you guys want to do? You know, because we don't really do traditional Christmas food. And she was like, you know what? She like talked herself into saying, don't even come. She was like, don't show up. So she was like, don't worry,
that's
Jenny.
That's a mom first. I think in America, that's a mom first.
Don't come. The Omicron will get you. Wow. That's how it felt. So listen, you know, my partner and I, Corey, he and I just, watch movies. You know, he tried to get me to watch Scrooged. I'm like, we're not making that a new tradition. We're not going to make that, you know. I want The Hills Are Alive with The Sound of Music. That's usually my Christmas tradition.
If we did a rewatch of that. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
I also, we were supposed to go, you know, I was in California and with my parents or whatever, but I have this one other family that lives in America, like everybody else is in Iran. So we always try and like see, you know, the handful of other family members that we have in America.
Yeah.
But each of them have a partner, and we all just decided it was just like too many people in a room, even though it's the essentially smallest family. Like, sadly, because of geography and, you know, political differences in geopolitics, we still couldn't, you know, just figured we couldn't see each other. But I did a crazy little, with my toddler, scavenger hunt for her to find her presents from Santa. Aww. In the house. And I thought, I'll take that fucking awe, because I was like, this is the cutest thing I've ever done for my child. And I really felt very good about it. Gabby, how did it affect your holidays?
I'm a Jew. And normally we would like get Chinese or, you know, go to the spa. My friend and I would go to the spa. But Or go to a movie. But now my very best friend in the world, who I met 3 years ago, her birthday is Christmas Eve. So now it's not Christmas Eve, it's Drew's birthday. So we just went and played cards and like brought her a gift, and it was like her and her partner and me and my partner. And then on Christmas Day, my partner Mal and I have befriended our next door neighbor, who's like in her late 70s.
That's cute.
It's not even like, I had someone be like, it's great that you're taking care of your neighbor. And I'm like, oh, no, we're not taking care of her. She's like our best friend. Like she Kramers her way into our house. Like she's our friend. Yeah. And so we told her, she's like a Austrian, like, you know, Christmas. She celebrates Christmas or whatever. So we told her we would go hang out with her. So my partner cooked a chicken, and like we like had a whole, you know, Christmas thing with her, which was very, very sweet.
Oh, that's lovely.
But then she spent the whole time telling us how Christmas is bullshit and she's an atheist. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
You know, so I have to say that the cases of Omicron have nearly doubled versus 4 days ago. That was a headline I read yesterday. So it's like very dramatically rising. Although I also heard that in places like San Francisco, it may also be plateauing. And I've also heard that basically by the end of the month, you know, by February, we'll be on the downslope, and it'll just be like, you know, it hits very fast and it goes down very fast. That's what happened in South Africa. It's what happened in the UK. And it's also less like heinous than Delta was. Also, here's something fun about it. If you get Omicron, you're more immune from Delta.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not necessarily the other way around. So those are all fun things.
We're like over 2 years into this, and I remain, you're talking about like a pandemic check-in. I remain confused every single day of my life. I have no, there's no leadership. There's no, like, I read different things. I'll read one thing online and then 5 minutes later, I'll read something completely different. I have no, again, 2 years in, no concept of what we're supposed to be doing. Yeah. No idea.
We need a supercomputer. We need literally.
Like, is this actually worse? Is it not worse? Does the vaccine prevent infection? Does it just prevent you from getting less sick? Are there going to be more variants? Are there not? There's no, I'm just like in a constant state of like, okay, I guess the last thing I read is right. But then like I read something new and I have no idea what's right. And everybody's a goddamn scientist. Every single person is like, puts out, like, they write something and they go, well, I'm a scientist. And it's like, are you a scientist or are you like, are you just like a person who's read a lot of science books and you're like, well, I'm interested in science. Like, I don't know who's right, who's real, and what the hell we're supposed to even be doing. And it's literally 2 years in.
Yeah. I feel like we need, individually, we just need a supercomputer per person with an algorithm to help us calculate the risk of what's happening, because there's so many factors involved. It truly, it does require that each of us are scientists. That's really, it's like,
Jenny, I'm an idiot. I'm stupid.
But also, we're not, all of a sudden though, we can't use our cloth mask anymore because Omicron is much more transmissible. So we have to all get like N95, you know, and everyone is requiring testing in order to work. And so it's like, when is our free testing? When is our free masks? We got our free vaccines. You know what I mean? That only went so far. So I just, it's true. I think we need leadership. Honestly, I also have been trying to, that's the only bit of news that I followed. I did a social media break this past month, Nagin. And I just was like, the only thing I'm following. The only thing I was following was the COVID news. And as far as I know, everything you said is correct, except because it's highly transmissible, it's truly affecting the unvaccinated. And that's why it's still impacting our hospital system. So even though it's less severe for the rest of us who are vaccinated, those who aren't, because it's more transmissible, they're seeing far more. So you know what I mean? Like, there's, it's still impacting the hospital system.
Right. Varied by region, depending on where you are. So it's like, you know, maybe in New York City or in San Francisco or something, you're not going to see the same kind level of impact just because there's such a high rate of vaccination.
Yes.
But then in other places you will. But then the other fun thing is it moves so quickly that the reason why they expect that it'll go, you know, that it'll be it'll would it be on the downswing by February is because it just won't have any more bodies to get into, you know.
That's right.
Those things just sort of like cycle through. And I know we literally because they've emailed me, have like virologists who listen to the show, so they will correct me. And please correct me.
When are you supposed to go to the hospital? If I got it today, I would have no concept of what. Okay, so then they get mad. They're like, asymptomatic people are going to the hospital.
Can I also say, again, not a doctor. I'm a comedian. but I also want to say, I don't know. I feel like I've had a very zen experience with Omicron. And it might be because I've been, you know, with my dad, who's a doctor. And
call him up.
Yeah, house calls.
Well, he's in the next room. Dad, where do they?
When do we go to the hospital? Where do they go?
And he has a zen attitude about it too, just because he understands it from a medical standpoint or something. And he was just like, yes, it is less worse. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay, cool. So it, I was at the playground and with my dad and my kid, and while we were at the playground, we ran into other doctors that my dad knows, and they were also like, cause I was expecting like everyone to be in masks and having their kids in masks and everybody just really masked up. But because we're outdoors, like they still didn't really do that. And I was like looking at the doctors and I was like, oh, I'm just going to be, like, if these set of doctors are not in a constant state of panic, I shall join them. You know what I mean? And these are people that are on the, you know, on the front lines. My dad literally wears hazmat suits to operate on people with coronavirus. So, he's zen about it. I don't know. I wish I could hand some of the zen attitude that it's like, it's happening. It's serious. You got to be careful and you got to wear your N95s and your surgical mask. Don't wear a cloth mask, all that stuff. It's now common knowledge, right? All of those things I feel like have risen to the surface as common knowledge. I guess, is there anything, I mean, it's interesting because I feel like all the epidemiologists I've heard from in the last couple of days have just been like rather hopeful. So I've also really just gotten on board with that feeling.
Huh. Maybe that's
like,
good.
This is how pandemic, this is the natural stage of a pandemic.
It's the beginning. It's the beginning of 2022. I think having hope is good.
Yeah.
I like that. You know what I mean?
Well, on that note of hope, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we shall discuss other things. And I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app. And I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money. And because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry. Thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you. So you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a roundabout 8-exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year. using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we are back, and we're going to just do an impromptu, you guys don't even know about it, topic number 1.5. This is just a quick left turn, and I'm only talking about this because it seems to be constantly trending in the last 4 days, and I find it fascinating. But Patton Oswalt did a guest set at a Dave Chappelle show on New Year's Eve. Now, Jenny, did you hear about this in your in your social media detox? And he posted a nice pic of him, and Chappelle, they've been friends for 34 years, and some people got mad and gave him shit for, I guess, doing the set or for posting the photo or, you know, because of the muck that David Chappelle has been in. David Chappelle, I call him by his his given name. And so I guess my question is, what did you think of this particular scandal? And listeners know, because we talked about the Dave Chappelle thing when it happened. So we're very, you know, everyone's pretty clear on what happened with his special and how people reacted to it. What do you think, though, of this other kind of secondary circle of people getting yelled at, which is that, Patton Oswalt just performed with Chappelle and then posted a photo, someone that he's known for years. What do you think of the kind of the backlash?
I'm not on Twitter, so I don't know anything that's going on ever, which is amazing.
You're stronger than us.
Has been so good for my life. I'll tell you, like, I'm a non-binary trans person. As soon as you started talking about it, I checked out. And that's true. One, I don't trust male comedians ever at all, basically. I don't, but I also don't care what they're up to. Like, I truly don't. Like, you are not, like, you don't have any reverence or care for my life. So why do I give a fuck what you're doing? Like, there's other comedians I can listen to and watch. There's trans comics. There's other people who deserve my time and attention that I could be talking about right now. There's other people that I can support and watch their stuff. Even like the backlash is giving these people attention. And I just can't, like, I really, it's just boring to me. Here's the thing. Transphobia at this point, I understand, like, transphobia is awful, and it leads directly to the deaths of trans women, particularly trans women of color. Like, direct line, you can watch the ironically on Netflix, Disclosure, which explains all of this, even though Netflix did put out the Chappelle special. But at a certain point, as a trans person, transphobia is boring. It's just like it's not interesting. It's not new. You're not breaking any ground. You're not being a radical. You're not being a person who's sticking it to the man. You're not, you think that the trans people are the people with any power that you're railing against? You're not. You're literally at a certain point, you're the establishment and you're institutions now. I don't mean this in a way of like, you anything against you, Nagin, but like, as soon as you brought up both of those people's names, I fell asleep.
Right. I mean, I think it's interesting. I think that's what's interesting is the appetite that this, you know, dumb, like, percentage of Americans with Twitter, you know what I mean, of which I am one, I'm calling myself dumb, he has an appetite for that issue. I think that's what, to me, is, like, so fascinating.
Why are you obsessed?
Why is everyone obsessed with this one thing? I personally don't need to hold Patton Oswalt responsible for everyone he ever comes in contact with or, like, the friends he's had for decades.
Posting a photo is a tacit, you know, promotion.
Is it though?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, is it, it could be an endorsement of a friend as a human being. It could be a good, an endorsement of a good time, but he, and as he put, and as he said, like, I don't agree with him on trans stuff, but like, he's been my friend for 34 years. He's helped me see so much about race and society, and maybe continued friendship. I can see my, I was moved by his argument that like, that it's possible to be friends with someone and not agree with them on everything.
I would rather like they post that and get zero likes or responses. I would rather no one give a shit.
Yeah. So I think that's the thing that I think is fascinating, is that this thing was that there was such a response.
Because people trusted Patton. I think Patton has gotten a lot. I mean, I think Patton's gained a lot of goodwill from places perhaps undeserved. And I think, in the past, he had, you know, definitely like things where he was misogynistic and people called him out and he, you know, stopped, whatever, was like, okay, I've learned my lesson, whatever. But like, at the end of the day, like, these are not like people to idolize. Like, it's just, you can't, I mean, post Louis C.K., like, any male comedian who has like a rabid following, I'm like, you're a serial killer. Like, something
automatically suspect.
If you're a male comedian whose fans will jump into your comments and defend you, I assume you're eating people in your home.
Jenny, where are you at with all of this? I know you're a comedian, and you know, and you know what? I have to say too that it's just like, I get attacked for stuff all the time, and sometimes I'm confused by what it is, and I have to like take a minute to learn or whatever. So Jenny, what's your take?
Well, so I just I ramped up my social media consumption in the last couple days, and because of that, on Instagram, I saw the photo that Patton posted after he deleted the original photo. So I saw the photo of him in a contemplative black and white pose, you know, looking at his notes or something, and then saying, "I'm so sorry." So I read that, and that's what I inferred was what happened, what you described. And so I think for me, how I look, number one, while Gabby was talking, I was just full hard eyes. Transphobia is boring. Just hard eyes. Transphobia is boring, number one. Male comedians, even more boring. More people we can support, right? Cis male comedians. Now, number two, this is how I see it. You can be friends, and I've done this. I can be friends with people who have been problematic in the past, but I don't need to post about it. Mm-hmm. And I can maintain that connection because I believe there is something valuable in the friendship for them to grow, possibly through my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. So, well, yeah, which is basically what he said,
but you don't have to post about it, because I think after Woody Allen, after Harvey Weinstein, after so many people, even Michael Jackson, R. Kelly, everyone had to come to terms with the idea that if you decide that someone's personal life is abhorrent and possibly bled into their professional life, what are you going to do as a consumer and as a human being in terms of how are you going to engage with that person's material in the future? And I think that is something that we all can decide for ourselves. For me, I no longer want to support Woody Allen movies. For me, I will ask a DJ to turn off an R. Kelly song. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't know about Michael Jackson. I feel like every single person, we have to make this decision about, are we going to post about something? Are we going to give them ticket money?
Right.
Are we going to talk about it? Are we going to play it at our party? Like, and there's all these different ways that we platform and support people. And I think for Patton to say, I'm against transphobia, but I support my friend, maybe don't post about it. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can do that, but don't post about it.
It's different. These people who have been convicted of sexual assault, I don't want people to jump in and say, well, Chappelle hasn't, whatever. Because there are definitely people who have abhorrent opinions or who have opinions that are, hurtful and harmful to a community who has made it known to that person. I have friends with differing opinions and things like that. I don't think like racism and transphobia is like, you know, negotiable, but you also meet people all the time who just need to like learn a little bit or whatever. But the thing is that, and this is the thing with comedians, it's a supply and demand economy. So if he's supplying like jokes about trans people nonstop for some weird obsessive reason, and people say we don't want that, you can't then go, why? And it's like, they don't want, they told you provided a service and their response was no, thank you for that service. That's art. He's whining or he's, you know, like everyone's jumping to his defense. A bajillion people watched his special. He's fine. Actually, I think the majority of people agree with him.
Yeah.
So who, like what?
Or just, again, hopefully, we're only doing optimism 2022. The majority of people are like Patton and they're like, hopefully he'll evolve and I'll just like, you know, I'll just check out this material until he does, which is, you know, yeah, in the capitalist framework, it's like getting him paid and all right. that stuff. He suffers no real consequences in that way. But I just can see that being the case for a lot of people where they're like, I don't agree with these because I've watched comedy my entire life. That was like anti-woman, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was most of the comedy we grew up on, right? Yeah. But I can still go back to some of those albums and be like, they're misogynist, but I really love this one bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
And of course. I think it's just, there's, don't you platform know, him. Sorry to interrupt. I just, you know, Patton, you don't have to platform him. You can be his friend.
Right. There are some calculations about how much juice you give someone. And yeah. I think that's legitimate. Okay, well, I was just curious to hear your thoughts. And I'm, you know, and if like Gabby, maybe half of you are now asleep.
I just find both of them so boring. And I find most male comedians so boring.
I made this joke I believe it was in one of my TED Talks. because I have so many of those. But I made this joke in one of my TED Talks of like one of the things that sucks about Islamophobia is that the graphic design is really ugly. Like they just don't make an effort to make the graphics better. Right. 'Cause like maybe I would be more swayed. And so I feel like there's something about that in all types of phobia, which is just like, I mean, if you're gonna do the phobia, at least can it be more interesting, you know, artful. In some way.
Mm-hmm. More artful.
I mean, there are better jokes and there are trans stand-up comics. Check out Jess Tom, check out Nori Reed, check out Robin Trant. Like, you know, we've given so much time to these people who are not doing anything radical anymore, who are not doing anything subversive anymore, and have basically become the establishment. So, snooze fest. Well,
yeah, and they're also, like, of a different generation. So, I mean, not to be like, they're old, but, like, they are older. Okay, well, let us move on to topic number two. Okay, so here we are. We're a full year after the January 6th riots, and there's a very... about a bipartisan House Inquiry Committee that's in full swing. Investigators have interviewed more than 300 witnesses, like White House officials close to Trump, actual writers. They're sorting through more than 35,000 documents. They're working nights and weekends, and it's a totally thankless job, what it seems like from the outside. And to date, none of the high-level people involved have been held accountable, though that may change in the coming months as they plan to do a lot more public hearings and stuff like that in the spring. So we want to just talk about this gently. What do you think? I mean, should we, you know, as they sort of embark on having the more public face and the everything they've done since January 6th of last year has been very quiet. Mm. The only public debates has been getting like Trump's tax returns or whatever, like some of his documents. So should we be putting the country through some of this in a long protracted trial? Should it be very public? Should it be? Well, how do you think this should look?
Yes. I want a full bulletin board roll call, like elementary school teacher style with stars and colors. I want photos. I want who they are. Because when I try to Google which politicians are responsible for January 5th, I had to like muck through a bunch of articles. No, right now they've been quiet. No one cares about.
By the way, Jenny Yang is more interested in January 5th, which was the day before the riots, than she January 6th. Is in January 6th. Okay,
I said the wrong day,
but that's you know, time is a
flat circle.
Yeah, it is. That's right. No, no one is interested in kids who do group projects. That's why the committee hasn't made much news. But I'm very excited about public testimony. I'm very excited about. I want a ticker tape parade with a full bulletin board of who should I hate? Who should I be? Who should be responsible for January 6th? I got it right this time. Okay. I want to know how are they going to get punished? I want to know which politicians were in contact with the Proud Boys and with the QAnon people. Everything. This is literally, we have such a short attention span. I want memes. I want, you know what I mean? I need a full propaganda effort.
Do you want it in like a hard-hitting, Shonda Rhimes produced, like, you know, 3 days of, you know, day long, everyone's watching the TV.
I want all of it. Hearings. I want spinoffs. I want made-for-TV okay. movies. Okay. I need whatever George Kalaki with his you know, khakis to be, do a full, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, to show me the faces.
Carnacki
Steve, that's
should
right.
be in Congress.
Oh,
yeah.
I need him to do a full, you know, visual kind of like a tableau of all
but
the faces.
But only if he's sleepless. Only if it's like in the middle of the night.
Frazzled.
And he's just kind of delirious and he's just like trying to get out the information. So what I'm getting from you, Jenny, is that you feel a little confused about who the, let's say, villains are.
Yes.
You want to know your clear protagonist, your antagonist. You
yes.
want to see the evidence. You just want this whole thing clarified.
Yeah, and in a digestible form. I think that's
yes.
the point. I think I
Got
don't
you.
Want everyone to have to read through 20 million articles. I need someone
no.
to keep a website going that tracks who is responsible.
Okay, and then Gabby, what do you want?
I don't know. I mean, I feel very afraid of QAnon because I think that, and all of this because I think that it's so easy to get people to fall into it. Like, I just listened to a podcast called American Radical, which is about the woman who passed away on January 6th, one of the women who just got trampled and fell. And it was talking about how quickly, I mean, she like was totally anti-Trump, and then within 4 months she was at the insurrection. Like, and so the people that need to be held responsible are the people that are responsible for taking these sort of disenfranchised, you know, I don't want to give like empathy to people that were there, but it's like so scary how quickly you can just go from one way to storming the Capitol. And you know, it's very on purpose, and it's targeting people who feel powerless and who are alone. Mm-hmm. And in American Radical, they were talking about how they thought that people were recruiting at, they have no proof of this, but they were saying that they thought people were recruiting at AA meetings or NA meetings because those people are vulnerable. So it was a great podcast, but it was, a huge bummer. So I don't know.
Oh, so you don't want to string them up the way I want them to be strung up?
I want the people. No, I do. I want the people. I just want people to understand, like, who has the actual power, you know?
Yeah.
It's so sad.
For sure.
Right. I mean, so it's like that woman has agency or whatever, but she was also under the heavy influence of way more influential people.
Mm-hmm.
And what is their responsibility in this situation? And and that's the interesting thing about this inquiry is that it, like, you know, they are talking to QAnon and they are talking to the Proud Boys and they are, you know what I mean? Or rather, like, you know, investigating them. So there are, there's all of that. And then they're also, you know, looking at Roger Stone and Mark Meadows and all of these other dudes. So there's this, I think the thing about January 6th and Jenny, I think you kind of said perfectly, is that it is a little confusing. It has so many tentacles. And we run the risk of kind of truly losing people mm-hmm. if the report isn't clear, if it's not done well. And, you know, in 9/11, I was, you know, the commission was, I think, I don't remember how long it took for them to do what they did, the 9/11 commission, but it took some time. But I think that they were pretty, I mean, I think, well regarded because they were so thorough. But at that time, it was easier to kind of support that because it was the country was attacked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't like a Republican was attacked or a Democrat was attacked. There wasn't a partisan flavor to the attack. And so I think what's happening now is just that, like, the country, it's still very divided. This big lie thing continues. And a majority of people still don't believe in the big lie, but that there's a, you know, a hearty minority that it makes it difficult to get stuff done, and everyone's trying to worrying about the base and the midterms and all this shit. Like, the, you know, Kevin McCarthy didn't have any Republicans join the committee officially, right? Mm-hmm. Though like I said, it is very bipartisan. One of the investigators is from the Bush administration, the other one's from the Obama administration. You know, like, Liz Cheney is on the committee. There's conservatives, there's Democrats, there's every type. Folks, let me know, what do you want to see out of this committee? I felt like we needed to have a little recognition of it being the 1 year anniversary as this podcast drops of the insurrection. Also, how much has it, like, I don't know, stayed in your mind at all? I think for a lot of us, especially liberals, we just wanted it to just forget about it, move on. And detox, don't go on social media, get off, don't follow the news, you know what I mean? And so I'm curious to know from people where their engagement is. Hit me up on all the social medias that you should be detoxing from. And to close out the show, I want to just quickly move into topic number three. I guess goth is back.
It never left.
Did it really not leave? I don't know. The Guardian fashion writers tell me that there's a real new trend.
No.
And before we get into the trend, did either of you have a goth phase yourselves?
Oh, 100%. I'm topic goth through and through.
Oh.
High school?
Oh, OG
mall goth. Hot topic goth.
Yeah. Gabby's your person for this.
100%. I'm drinking out of a Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas mug right now. Right now. Currently. This is not a joke. I bought this. I a lot of my mugs are themed this way.
Wait, did you ever have a Marilyn Manson moment?
No, I did.
Interesting.
I did respect his thoughts on Columbine at the time, but I was more like emo. So Taking Back Sunday, Bright Eyes, Newfound Glory. I went to, you know, a bunch of sort of Death Cab for Cutie, like a bunch of like crying, you know.
But also
like so dramatic, like Taking Back Sundays, like with my one last gasping breath, I'll apologize for bleeding on your shoe. Like, oh my God. And so I don't think it ever left. For a lot of us, I mean, I have friends who, shout out to my friend Steph Schwartz, the last living goth, which is what I call her, but she's like a true, like, old school goth. And then do you know the show Dragula?
No.
It's a drag show, but like for horror drag.
Oh.
All the queens on there, like, super goth. And like, I think that it never left if it was truly in your heart. I saw Newfound Glory in 2018. Like, I'm not. The thing is that when you're a high school goth, you don't have any money, so you can't do, you can't like particularly get what you want. You know, your mom is like, you can't wear black lipstick, whatever. My sister's bat mitzvah, it was height of my goth phase, and I was not allowed to wear black. But the pictures from it, I'm wearing dark olive green, a cameo necklace choker. Like, yes. I am going for it at a bar mitzvah, at a bar mitzvah with an underwater theme.
Well, can I say that apparently the trend, the way that it's returned is, I think it is not the version that's in your heart, Gabby, but maybe just more of a sex kitten goth.
Yeah, no.
Thing that's come back. Black items have on a particular retailer of clothing searches for them have grown by 169%, while chokers have grown by 81%, and fishnet topped by
186%.
Wow. And then they, you know, they're always pointing to like hot celebrity ladies who are wearing these black corsets. At a certain point, one of these retailers just completely out of black corsets. So there's something about like being like a hot, you know, celebrity. Jenny, where have you seen this in action? Where has it landed on your radar?
I've never been goth. I'm probably goth in my heart, but in terms of my fashion expression, I grew up in the South Bay with preppy suburbanites. That's just how I am. But I'll tell you what, I am fascinated by the evolution. I don't think it ever left. I think it just transmutates depending on the technology. You know, in the article that you sent us from The Guardian, I do agree that like Japanimation or Japanime, mm-hmm. and like emo, like sort of that whole sort of vibe and the cosplaying definitely, I feel like, influenced this, because there is that sort of sexy baby element that is like really also kind of part of the trend, which is creepy. But I am truly fascinated. If it doesn't hurt anyone, just express yourself. I love that search for the quote goth business casual was up 90%.
That's our health search term. Health goth. Where it's health goth was a thing where it was people wanting to dress in athleisure but still be goth. So it was like quote unquote health goth.
Wait, what does that even look like?
Black tracksuits and stuff.
Just black
tracksuits. There's also like an aesthetic called dark academia, which is like study goth.
Yeah, but dark.
I went into a Hot Topic. So because now I have money, I can just go into Hot Topic and buy what I want. I can just go get whatever I want. So I can go
see all the concerts
of all the old bands I was allowed to go see. I can go see them now. I'm 33. And so I'm just like doing my teenage years, but with money. And I knew that I had made it when I went into a Hot Topic and I got recognized. And I went, 14-year-old me would shit right now. Like, oh my we've God. Done it. We did it, Joe.
What a life.
Like,
good job. Yeah. Good job. I mean, and what's funny is that we've talked a lot about fashion trends on the show over the past year. Like, you know, there's been two or three topics around fashion, cottagecore, and we did a bonus episode on, the holiday episode was on fake food trends, you know, like putting wax and fruit and stuff like that is back. There's just something about this pandemic, and I wonder what you think about this. Like, Jenny, have you dipped back into the decades, like, for things? Has nostalgia caught you at all in this, you know, in this moment?
No, I think for me, I just wanted things to be cozier and brighter because everything was so depressing. That's my response.
That's
aesthetically.
Your gothic goth business casual.
I want fuzzies. You know what I mean? And then I want just like neon colors, bright colors. But you know, I wouldn't sneeze at a dark academia, like just a little Slytherin Harry Potter vibe. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of what I do in general sometimes. Mm-hmm. The preppy.
I also was rewatching the movie Looper. Oh, which I don't know if you guys
good
know
movie.
That movie, but it's like set in the future, like in the 2040s or something like that. And a guy that's even further into the future, I'm not giving anything away. You should watch the movie, however. Jeff Daniels is from whatever point in the future, and he, like, let's say 30 or 40 years after, and he comes back to 2040s and he says to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, oh my God, like, can you guys stop dressing in this 20th century stuff? Like, because everybody looks like they're, you know what I mean? Like, Don Draper on a casual day, whatever. And he's like, could you guys stop? It's like, it's so annoying. Do something, you know, put a laser beam on your chest or something. And I thought that's funny because it's definitely what we're doing. We're doing that Looper thing where we're going back into the 20th century and we're like, what were we doing? Let's grab all that stuff and bring it back.
Y2K back to like the Matrix. Like, I want the trench coat. I want the trench coats and the tiny glasses. Like, that was a look.
Yeah, it was electro goth.
Loved it.
Folks, let me know where have you gone back into your goth closet? And oh my God, I love the idea of Fake the Nation listeners having an entire section of their closet devoted to goth wear and to goth business casual outfits. Okay, let me know. But bonus points if you send me pics. hit me up. Oh my God, it is the end of the show, and I had such a good time talking with you both. That was really fun for me.
Oh, thank you for having us. Step.
I know.
What a great way to start the year. Well, what I would really love is for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to find you and everything that you do. Gabby Dunn, where do they do that?
You can find me at Gabby Rode on Instagram, or Bad With Money Podcast and Just Between Us Podcast, anywhere you get your podcasts. I had a graphic novel come out called Bury the Lead that I would love it if you read it. I think that's everything. Part of me is like, don't find me. I don't need to hear your opinions about Chappelle. Truly.
No, they're nice. Everyone is nice and delightful. Yeah. So you want them to find you.
Yeah.
And I have to say, as a subscriber to both of those podcasts and having been a guest, I cannot recommend them highly enough. They're really, really great podcasts.
Thank you.
Jenny Yang, do people find you?
If you don't want to follow Gabby, follow me. Oh my God. I would love the Fake the Nation subscribers to come say hi.
Not don't follow me. Just don't comment about Chappelle. Yeah. You can follow me, but right? Zip it.
Right. No letters to the editors. You can follow me at jennyyang.tv. That's my main website, but I'm at jennyyangtv on Twitter and Instagram. Possibly on TikTok in 2022. I don't know. Gabby's been trying to convince me to get on there in the two times that we've seen each other online. At Jenny Yang TV, I love chatting with folks about whatever is happening. Give me tips. Tell me weird things that happened to you. I like that.
I can tell you right now by having interacted with her that you wouldn't be sorry. She's utterly delightful. And folks, you know where to find me. Oh, and I just want to say, I wrote a piece for Yale Patreon, and then I got contacted by an editor of Hearst Magazine, whatever, and they asked me if I was interested in trying to work with them, and I was like, well, I have this one piece lying around because I had written it for Patreon. It was about me meeting this really, really delightful trans woman at an airport in Dubuque, Wisconsin, and spending hours with her, and what transpired, and it was just like one of those moments where you meet a stranger and it's just like, oh, you're kind of life-changing and amazing, and I only get 3 hours with you and I will remember them for the rest of my life. So anyways, I wrote a piece about it for Patreon, and then this guy at Hearst Magazine liked it, and so then he ended up handing it over to the Oprah Magazine people, and so that piece got published. So in a way, the people of Fake the Nation got me 45 steps closer to Oprah. So thank you for that, and thanks so much for supporting the Patreon, because it got me to get this piece out of my system. And now that piece is available, and it's on my, the link is out there. It's on my Twitter. But it's called A Connection at the Dubuque Airport, I think is what it's called.
I love that.
And the woman is deaf. So there's just an interesting way of like communicating that we had. And, anyways, it was just a lovely moment for my life that I hope will kind of give you a little bit more oomph going into 2022 about meeting strangers and embracing them. You know, my motto for all children is talk to strangers and definitely take candy from them. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I like to do this. All right. But folks, what I would really like to do is thank all of the wonderful people here at HeadGum that make this show possible. That's our fantastic producer, Danielle Jones-Wesley, our wonderful sound engineer, Stephanie Aguilar, and Mike Coscarelli. Our theme music was written by Gabby Alter. And as always, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts because it helps people find the show. You guys have been doing such a great job of that, so thank you. You can email us at fakethenation@headgum.com for any ideas you might have. Join the Patreon for bonus content at patreon.com/NagineFarsad. And we will be back in your earballs next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.